You are listening to Ratchet and the Geek, the intersection of social media, pop culture, and technology, brought to you by Lovey from AwesomelyLovey.com. She's a humor writer, a social media strategist, and the co-founder of the Red Pump Project. And me, Scott Hanselman from Hanselman.com. I'm a software engineer, web guy, former computer science professor, and a guy with too many gadgets. And together, we will bring you everything that we know and think about TV, movies, games, gadgets, stories of fail, the dumbest tweets you've ever heard, product recommendations, and lots more. Here on Ratchet and the Geek. Show number 10, Double Digits. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Lots and lots. It's been, 2 weeks now? And
yep.
Scandal is back, blowing my mind.
Scandal is back and leaving again.
For 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can deal with that. It's at this point, it's completely a telenovela. You know what I mean? Anyone can die. Anyone can get hurt. The whole thing is just chaos.
Listen, like tonight, there's a reason why I haven't started on my recap yet. Like, this episode of Scandal has got to be the most thug-marking, slaying, dramatic one yet. And this is, and that's saying a lot with the show where the president has gotten shot.
Mm-hmm. You need to explain, you need to explain to our non-native English-speaking listeners, as well as white people, what thug-marking means.
Thug-marking is like the thought that you are a thug, so you're not really mostly moved by things.
Mm-hmm.
So when your thug is murked, it means something has moved you to either be really dramatic or sometimes cry.
Right, right. So your tough facade has been breached.
Yo, totally. Like when I heard when the episode ended and they're like April 25th is the next one, I almost cried. I was like, oh my God,
right.
I cannot deal. I am unable to deal.
Yes, my thug was murked by this situation.
Yo, this episode was not like, I've literally been talking about Scandal for the past 3 hours, and this is not an exaggeration.
This is a mess. It was like, a ridiculous episode. The whole last 5 minutes were insane.
Right, and then when it ended, I was like in my feelings so much that I got on Ustream randomly, and I never get on video or Ustream. And 95 people joined me as I rambled on about how much Scandal touched my heart.
You should have done a Google Hangout. Then I could talk to other people.
Well, what's awesome is then after the Ustream, which lasted 40 minutes, I took like a break. I ate, drank some water, and then me and two of my girls got on Google Hangout to talk about it for another hour. And here I am again.
If we could only monetize your love of Scandal.
Yo, seriously. They just need to go ahead and hire me to be like on set all the time to just live tweet what happens. And I feel like it's going to come. It's going to happen. I know it.
Whatever. Can we just get them to sponsor Ratchet and the Geek now? Because I'm taking coffee money to pay for our hosting.
You know what? I mean, we've gotten a lot of people to watch Scandal. So, you know,
we need a kickback.
We do. They need like an affiliate link on Scandal. Like,
Now your recaps have been blowing the traffic on your blog up. And I've noticed there's been a couple times when your blog's been a little slower than usual. Are you getting a lot of traffic?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of traffic lately. But also, okay, so anyone who's out there who's a developer, this is also for you. So lately in the past, actually 48 hours, my CPU usage has been spiking. So for the non-tech folks, every time you load a website, it has to ping the CPU, which is the system behind the server. Now, if you're on a shared hosting like I am, you're allocated a certain amount of CPU space at a certain time. Well, apparently lately, my site has been using more CPU than it's supposed to.
Right.
And I don't know why.
You're shared, so you get a slice.
Why?
You get a slice of the pie. You know.
Yes.
The CPU is sitting there juggling. Maybe there's, who knows, maybe there's 20 other websites on the same computer, and you get one slice of that. And now you're taking up more than your fair share. And this could cause your hoster to call you and complain and say, hey, Lovey, you need to pay more money so we can give you a bigger slice of the pie.
Well, here's the thing. I had upgraded my hosting back in November because my site literally, my traffic tripled in a month. So I upgraded my hosting to business hosting. So I have a dedicated IP address. I was moved to a different server that's a little bit stronger. And then everything was all good. And then until like 48 hours ago, all of a sudden I'm getting these notices that's like, hey, you're using something on your scripts that's running on your website is causing a lot of CPU spike. And I don't know what it is because I didn't make any major changes to my site.
You might be getting attacked a little bit.
Really?
Have you thought about using Cloudflare? Have you heard about that?
You know what's funny? I used Cloudflare for a couple of months. And Cloudflare was good and bad because do you remember when my site ended up in internet purgatory for like 48 hours?
That was a tough time. You had a little DNS switch.
Do you know what happened then? It's because that's actually when I upgraded my hosting to a business hosting.
Oh.
So what they did was they before I'd made the upgrade, I talked to my host and they're like, it should be fine. It's going to be a seamless upgrade. You should be fine. And then I was attached to Cloudflare, but whoever I talked to, I guess, didn't do a deep enough search of my settings to peep that I was on Cloudflare. So when they switched my website and I switched my DNS, where my name server was pointing, it caused a 48-hour purgatory of my website where it was just like half the internet could see it, the other half could not.
That was a bad time.
But yeah, it was terrible. So I basically swore off Cloudflare, and all of a sudden, I'm getting these notices, and I haven't done anything major to my site. So I have no clue what's going on. I've Googled to find out. I turned off most of my plugins. I haven't gotten a notice since 4 o'clock today, but it's still weird. It comes out of nowhere.
That is extremely weird. I have no explanation for you. My guess is if your CPU usage is high and you've changed nothing, the only thing that usually explains that is that someone is poking around at your site or you've added some plugin, but the assumption being that you haven't added a plugin that's doing something that you haven't done before. The other idea could be your database is getting full.
Well, related to that, I went into my database, I optimized and repaired my tables. My database is light. I even trimmed one of my tables down by a third, which cut my database from like 40 megabytes to 29.
Okay, that's not big.
So my database is fine. I hadn't added any additional plugins. So to me, it sounds like maybe my site is getting attacked.
Couldn't hurt to check, but honestly, with the traffic you're getting, I think that either Cloudflare or Google PageSpeed could be something you could
do. But see, I'm not getting like stupid big traffic. Like every day I'm getting over, I'll say like 10,000 page views. That's not a lot.
It's not a lot for a day. No, it really isn't.
Exactly. So maybe, I don't know what's happening. But yeah, I'm getting 10, yeah.
I would still, I think that for a caching service, I'm starting to realize a caching service is a good idea. And let me give you an idea why. I host my other podcast, Hansel Minutes, on Azure, which is a cloud hosting like Rackspace or Amazon. And I recently redesigned the website and added pictures, just like we have on Ratchet and the Geek. Each show has a picture. Well, I've done 364 shows on Hansel Minutes, so I put up 364 JPEGs of all the guests. Which is cool, right? But it turns out that each page load was 8 megabytes of pictures, which was foolish of me. I was literally loading 364 JPEGs. It would be like going to Facebook every time you go to Facebook and loading the faces of all of your friends. So I was pretty stupid. So I went and did two things. First, I hooked up a thing called the jQuery Lazy Load. This is that plugin where it only loads the picture if you scroll past it in your browser. That way it doesn't load pictures people don't see. Because if you have a big, long page, but you've got a giant picture at the bottom, why load it if no one's ever going to scroll down there? The second thing I did is I hooked up Google PageSpeed, which is just exactly like Cloudflare. It's a DNS caching service, and figured I'd let them pick up that that caching for me. So right now, when you hit HanselMinutes.com, you're actually hitting Google PageSpeed, and it'll also not just do caching for you, but it'll squish your JavaScript, and it will minify your CSS for you. So
I'm going to it right now. Your new website looks dope. Like, it's pretty cool.
Thank you.
And it loads super fast. I even tested it using tools.pingdom. Mm-hmm. Your website loads in less than a second. That's dope.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's actually the redesign. The tech is me, and the redesign is my buddy Jin Yang, who's a Jeezy on Twitter. And he's actually the designer who works for Stack Overflow, which is one of the Q&A sites on the internet. And he did this on the side. Pay a designer, my friends. If you really want to redo your site, get a pro.
He's the designer, you're the developer.
Right. So what he did is he went and did the Photoshop comps of what I wanted, and we went back and forth, and I told him how I wanted it to feel and the kind of the general idea. And I told him I wanted a brand. I mean, I wanted business cards, and I wanted a brand that would scale across sites, because I've got the podcast plus the blog, plus I want to have a place for if you want to hire me to speak. I want a little resume. I want a homepage. Like, I never had a homepage. And this actually you, Lovey, that inspired me to do this. Because we were at South by Southwest. No, for real. We were at South by Southwest, and you were telling people your websites, and you've got not only Awesomely Lovey, but you've also got your Lovey.org stuff where your business and your hire me. I didn't have any of that. So I would go and tell people to go to Hanselman.com. They'd hit my blog. They'd see code, and they'd run away. And I realized I had no homepage. I had nothing. Mm-hmm. I had no about me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of tried to model what you guys are doing, what you and Afrobella and Francesca and my friends are doing. So now you can go to Hanselman.com. You can see where I'm speaking. You can see my books. You can see my shows. And I feel like it's a homepage for once. And I could point it to someone, like a prospective client, I guess, if I had a client. and it would be like a real, like, I feel like I'm a real boy.
It looks good. It looks really good. Like, I'm really enjoying it. I'm actually on it right now, scrolling through everything.
Thanks for the inspiration.
Thought this through.
I appreciate you leading the way.
And well, if it makes you feel better, looking at your new website makes me want to upgrade my business website, lovey.org. It's like a cycle of, ooh, yours looks cute. I want to do something with mine.
Yes, keeping up with the Joneses.
And I showed you the look I'm going to give my new lovey.org.
Yes.
So I'm going to do that.
It's looking sharp. I've seen the preview of the new lovey.org, and it is a really nice, really nice design.
So I'm looking forward to doing that, because I actually have a couple of clients whose websites I'm wrapping up right now. So once I finish theirs, I'll focus on mine.
Don't you think that website design is like fashion, where it's like, what's hot this season? You know, like.
Well, the good thing about website design is if you do it right, you won't have to change it for 2 to 3 years.
That is true.
Like any closet, you're not going to just wear the same clothes for 4 years in a row. You might want to switch up your style in 3 years, but you don't want to have to switch up every year. That's the issue.
Yeah.
It's like if you feel like your site needs to be upgraded every year, mm-hmm. then it's not classic enough. It's too trendy.
Yeah. This one was, I think, just about 2 years. So that's exactly what happened. I just looked at it one day, and the blog actually was fine. It was okay. It wasn't like, it didn't blow me away. The blog was a good design. I liked it. It made me happy for 2 years. But what mm-hmm. happened was the podcast site didn't look like the blog, didn't look like this. So all the sites didn't look like a cohesive world. And, you know, actually, did you notice that YouTube has a new style? So YouTube websites are different now. So if you go to youtube.com/shanselman, they've redone it, and they have what's called a cover photo. And you remember when Facebook did this, the whole cover photo thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I see it.
Right. So if you have an online brand, you've got art and branding that needs to go through not just your homepage and your podcast and your whatnot, but your Facebook and your Google mm-hmm. Plus and your mm-hmm. and your YouTube. So you need to think about that when you're redoing your stuff. Is does your Google Plus look like your YouTube, look like your homepage? So that's what we try to do.
I mean, part of the visual identity piece of branding is that no matter where people are for you online, it reminds them of somewhere else that you already exist. So how I do that is, so there's my background on my blog is a red argyle. So on my Twitter, for at I Love It, the background is the red argyle. And on at Lovey, my header is the red argyle. Mm-hmm. And on my flavors.me, that red background is also there. So there's red across the board on all my sites.
Exactly. And this isn't complicated. It just requires thought. And I think that's one of those things people just don't think about. And it really is no different than picking a great pair of shoes to match a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, looking good, though. Looking good.
Yeah, it's good. It feels good. It's like, you know, you get a nice haircut, clean your room, get your website designed. Life is organized now. I feel like I can go out into the world.
Because, you know, Scott and his blazers, he's officially very serious about his blazers.
That is true.
So his website just got a new blazer. That's what that is.
Yes. My blazer and shoe game is definitely tight because men don't get a lot of accessories. It's not fair. Y'all get all sorts of crazy stuff. We have nothing. Watches.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, you guys have better button-ups. Like, I have been looking for a gingham button up for a long time. A very nice one. Not just because Brolivia Pope, aka Harrison, aka Columbus Short from Scandal Rocks Gingham. I'm a prep by heart. So I love gingham and argyle and houndstooth. You know how hard it is to find a woman's gingham shirt that's nice?
It's impossible. Not one that's fitted.
Exactly. They're always boxy. So if it makes you feel better, you guys have better patterned button ups. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad that we have that on lockdown. That makes me happy.
I want a woman to come out with a line of preppy clothes for us that mirrors certain things about guys. Like, there are not enough shirts that women have that require cufflinks. I actually have a pair of red studded cufflinks that I do not have a shirt that it goes with yet.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just waiting. You're just biding your time as you wait for that to happen.
I'm waiting. I feel like somebody somewhere is going to be like, you know, women's shirts need cufflinks more often. And they're going to do it. And when they do, I will bust out my cufflinks.
And you'll be ready.
I'll be ready. And speaking of fashion, so Mad Men is coming back on Saturday.
Oh, the amount of TV that we have to keep up on for you, the user, for the listeners. It's for you. It's for you we do this.
We do it for you. I'm excited that Mad Men is coming just because, well, partly because, not just, the fashion of Mad Men is off the hook.
You know, I think that's funny that I can't watch Mad Men without thinking about, like, what a horrible sexist time it was, and everyone else is worried about the fashion.
Oh, yeah, it was sexist and racist and terrible, but I love it.
It was sexist racist and horrible, but it was the bomb.
But it was the bomb. I mean, okay, I didn't love the era itself, technically. What I am saying is I love the honest portrayal of it. They show the good, the bad, and the ugly about the 60s. The 60s was not politically correct. They used to smoke like chimneys. There's even an episode where Don Draper was flying to L.A. He's smoking on the airplane.
That is true.
Realization that this used to happen, the fact that they used to smoke on airplanes. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Just, we were watching, my wife and I went and rented It Happened One Night. It's a Clark Gable movie from like 1930, like the Oscar from 1930 something. And they're on a bus from like Florida to New York, and they're in the back row of the bus, and he busts out smoking. It's just like, oh man. Just like a 1,000-mile bus ride with a smoker. I'm sorry. I mean, even to our listeners who love to smoke, and I realize that those people who enjoy smoking still exist, but seriously, really? You would be cool with that, to smoke for 1,000 miles?
That's a lot. I mean, when I was in Nigeria, when I was in Lagos in February, like I said, people still smoke like chimneys in Lagos. Like, women smoke just as much as the men do, it seems. When we went to the club, everyone was smoking so much. And, you know, I have locks. We walked out the club and I felt like I was still in it because all the smoke
had stayed
in my locks.
How long did it take you to wash them out?
Okay, I didn't take my shampoo to Nigeria because the water's hard. I didn't want to wash my hair while I was there. I would have to retwist. So I basically had to, it took 24 hours for the strong smell to go. But I could still smell it by the time I got back to the U.S. So, of course, I was looking forward to washing my hair. But
that is a shame. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see the throwback to a different era. Like, on Mad Men, the fact that they talked about civil rights, like there was an episode where one of the characters was actually dating a black woman and everyone was looking at him like, what's going on with that? It's, even though it's one of those, of course it was a terrible time because the politics and all that stuff, it's still very, to watch the show and you feel like you are experiencing history all over again.
Yeah, it does seem to be a very honest attempt at history. I mean, it's not perfect. It certainly is a dramatization, but yeah,
right.
I mean, we weren't there.
Plus, everyone in the show's hot, so there's that.
They are
so
pretty good looking. That is true.
Don Draper, yes. I mean, so yes, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I will be live tweeting it, so feel free to follow me.
Hey, speaking of people who are hot, did you see the Facebook Home phone announcement this morning?
I read about it.
Like, they want to replace your Android phone with Facebook as the home screen?
No, I'm not for it.
I realize that the problem with all of these phones, all of them, Windows, iPhone, Android, it doesn't matter, is that they all assume that all of your friends are models who are also professional photographers on the side. You know what I mean? It's like, how often do you find yourself like dancing around a bonfire on a beach and there's like pumpkins in the background that are all perfectly organized and everything's well lit? I mean, like, let's just be realistic. When was the last time you took a picture with your phone at night and didn't have that picture turn to complete crap?
Hey, my Samsung S3 is not bad at nighttime pictures, so...
Really?
I don't know about your pictures, but my pictures are...
Why you gotta disrespect my iPhone?
Like, my pictures be on point, so... Because I have a good flash. But I get your point, though.
Yes.
Everyone is not here for that. But I must say, the moment I heard about a Facebook phone, I was not enthused at all. Because... I mean, I feel like we have enough Facebook on the computer. I don't need Facebook phone. I have a Facebook app. Why do I need a phone?
They want to bring it to... They've taken over the home screen. They don't think the app is enough. And frankly, I'm hearing that kids don't think Facebook is cool anymore. Like, people are on Instagram now. Which, of course, got bought by Facebook.
Right. I'm not here for the kids either.
Now, Facebook is fail.
No. No, Facebook is not a fail. I get a lot of value from Facebook. A lot of value. And I get a lot of engagement on Facebook. And my people talk back to me. The people who think Facebook is boring is because they can't get people to engage with them.
Yeah, I have to admit, we've had this conversation before comparing followers and engagement. And, you know, but the folks I'm talking to aren't usually on Facebook, frankly.
Yeah, it's because they're also sick of the etiquette of the people they're friends with. Because I happen to be friends with a lot of people who actually don't put up every relationship status that they ever have. And they're not all, I'll say 85% of people I'm Facebook friends with know how to behave. The other 15%, I keep them on my friends list because they entertain me. And I like to judge them.
There is fun. It's always fun to judge your friends and strangers.
I mean, why not? It's the internet.
We had this conversation before, the idea that it's amazing that we have this pocket supercomputer, this like quad processor machine in our back pocket, and we use it to look at cat pictures and argue with strangers.
Like, sorry, it's like that comic that's like, sorry, you can't go to bed, somebody's wrong on the internet.
Yeah, it is. It's sad. I mean, we need to take a break. We went on date night tonight, and I felt pretty good about the fact that we put the phones down. Just get rid of them. Just leave them home. I'm even starting to lock my phone in the trunk of the car.
What?
There's no chance that you're going to text and drive if your phone is in the trunk of the car. You know?
Wow.
So why not do it? I'm serious.
You serious about that?
Well, hey, texting and driving is no joke.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that I know, but I'm talking about, like, the fact that you can't just put it aside to make sure you don't do that. You got to put it all the way in the trunk, though.
Well, you know, what's the first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yes. I'm glad you've done that.
Yeah, because I have a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do too, but it'd be like that sometimes. But there are some days I can actually cut it all off. Like,
yeah,
a few weeks ago, a few months ago, the fact that I can't even understand the date, I took the day to actually read a book, and I read an entire book.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, see, nowadays...
I'm glad that you feel that's something to be proud of.
Yo, it totally is. Okay. Like, there used to be... So, one thing I've started doing that really does help if you want to kind of not be tied to your phone as much is to put your phone on silent during the day and just check on it whenever you feel like it. Mm-hmm. I've started doing that more often, and I think it's awesome because people will be like, I called you. Oh, yeah, I know. My phone was on silent. I didn't see it, which is true because I'll have it like... I don't know where. I just throw it somewhere, and then at the end of the day, I finally come to it. And people, of course, for the people who text me and they don't get responses until hours later, that's exactly why. Because a lot of times now, it's on silent.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's good that you can do that because, you know, I talk about this in my productivity talks. This idea that you need to sprint, right? And I always use the example of Usain Bolt. He is not texting while sprinting. And if you're trying to get work done, you put your head down and you run in that direction. And if you're going to do that, you got to do it without texting, without on the phone, without Twitter, without interruptions.
Oh, my God.
Of any kind.
That's my problem. Today, all day today, I didn't do anything I was supposed to do because I was on Twitter.
We've had this conversation, you know.
Yeah, but then, you know, things kept happening and Twitter started pulling me in and then Roger Ebert died, which like murked me for hours. Like I couldn't even, that was pretty sad.
Yeah, he was America's uncle.
He was, and he was just okay. Like he was just writing yesterday. That's the part that kills me whenever, that's the part that gets me whenever celebrities die is like if they've just did something and they were just present.
Right. He just said, I'm taking a break.
He just wrote this long piece. So whenever someone passes after being so present,
yeah,
it's shocking. So it's not like he was away for months and all of a sudden we just found out he died. No, right. The dude was writing up till yesterday.
Yeah. It's the Twitter equivalent of when a friend dies or a neighbor dies. You're like, I was just talking to him.
Right. But you know, one thing that's crazy about Twitter is just the fact that you make these connections with these people and you never understand that, you know, a tweet can do so much. One person who passed on Twitter, her last tweet was to me.
Mm.
I was like, oh, wow. Her cousin tweeted me like, you know, her last tweet was to you. I was like, stop. I go on her timeline. It messed me up for like a day.
No, I hear you. There's a friend who passed. I still look at her Twitter timeline sometime, but the thing that really bugs me is that she's still in my G-chat.
I think you got to take that off, man.
Yeah, I know. I need to just delete it, but it's one of the. But this is the kind of thing where you're typing something and they show. I could delete her from my G-chat, but she's still in my, you know, my autocomplete. So it's gonna get me one.
You gotta clean that out, G.
Yeah, I know. But it's like throwing away that last picture of grandma or whatever. You know, you just. It takes
not
a minute
really.
To do.
It's not a picture. It's not like you're deleting an email, but you got. It's kind of like. Delete, like, it's like deleting your grandma's number from your phone.
Yeah, or that. But see, but you know, you hear about people who have someone die and they don't want to delete the voicemails.
Oh, yeah. No, that one I actually feel like is more personal than like GChat. But like, I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your voicemail is like a last piece of them being alive, and it's the last piece of something close to them.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who do that, but I feel like for you to not constantly see it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's really is. It's in the dashboard is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And sometimes, you know, psychology says a lot of times you got to put some things out of sight for it to really.
All right. All right. I'll do that. I'll move on.
You know, you still got memories and emails and pictures and Skype messages and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, yeah.
This is all, we're all philosophical this episode. This is like episode 10. Let's just break it down for a minute.
Let's just break it down.
this is the boys to men episode. Girl. Let me just tell you. I knew you were cheating, girl, but I didn't care.
I just had to be with you. Yeah. It didn't matter. Your love hurt.
Oh my goodness. You love, girl. I'm just your love, girl.
Oh my God.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
So what gadgets you got?
Actually I just got a laptop. I know that I talked a little bit about that.
Another one?
Well, hold up now. I have that Intel that was given to me by Intel to review, but it's a prototype. It's starting to break down, and it's a consumer laptop that's kind of, it's all right, but it's not my work. Mm-hmm. It's not my work laptop. So at Microsoft, we get a new laptop every 3 years. Okay.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's reasonable, right? That's not like living large. I'm not every right, 3 right. months. It's every 3 years. Okay. So three years is up. They got a laptop. I got one, and it is a Lenovo X1 Carbon Touch. It's about it's an i7, an Intel i7 Pro, so it's a quad processor. It's got about a 13-inch screen, and it's super light. I went from basically this big Lenovo W530, it's like an 11-pound laptop, and this one's 3 pounds, touchscreen. Think of it as like a black MacBook Air.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's real thin. It's black. It's got a glass touchpad, and it's made out of carbon fiber, which I don't know what that means, but it sounds expensive. But go out and Google for Carbon Touch X1, and I think it's about $1,600. It's a beautiful, dang, it's a beautiful laptop. A little bit upscale, so it's not the kind of laptop that you're going to get it at Best Buy. But it's totally, mm-hmm, totally pro. 8 gigs of RAM, 256 gig SSD, USB 3. Best part is it'll run up to 4 monitors. If you get the docking station. So this is a laptop that could potentially replace your desktop. This could be your only laptop. And I plan on doing just that.
How many computers do you have now?
Let me see here. I have my desktop that I'm talking to you on. I've got this Intel Ultrabook that they loaned me. I got a MacBook Pro, and then I got this new Carbon Touch. So what is that, 4?
Wow.
But if you don't count the Ultrabook, I'm going to give that to my wife. I got my desktop. I got my Carbon, which is my work laptop, and I got the Mac. So 3. That's reasonable. I don't count the Surface and the iPads.
And how many of those do you have?
We've got 2 iPod Touches, one for each boy. My iPhone. My wife has an iPad. I have an iPad, and I have a Surface. And then HP. Hey, now. How many tablets do you have? Pause for effect.
Shh, this ain't about me. This ain't about me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's like 15 computers in one house.
The pot calling the kettle a gadget freak. You have at least 3-4 tablets within reach. Within reach.
Rumors and...
conjecture.
Right. I mean, I only got... Okay, I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us has a leg to stand on, because I'm over here with this old HP touchpad that I got on. You know, remember the HP touchpads came out, and they were like, there's a fire sale, and they were like going out of business, so you could get one for $99. Like, I just can't let it go. Like, I don't use it. It's useless, but I don't want to get rid of it.
Get your life.
I know. It's a problem. Gadget people know. Like Brother Tech. You know Brother Tech?
Oh my God, brother Tech got hella gadgets. He just got a BlackBerry Z10
See,
too,
this is
I
what
think.
I'm talking about. So I know I'm okay. As long as brother Tech is a mess, I'm okay.
Right? That would not be your measuring stick because he's also a mess with his gadgets.
He is a mess with his gadgets. So as long as as long as he's got more, I'm okay.
I don't think he has more. We'll have to verify this tomorrow with him.
We will check with brother Tech on that. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right.
So what are some tips you got for people who need social media or technical site help?
For me, I don't have any good social media tips right now. You were talking about something called Twitonomy, but I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, so Twitonomy is this tool that allows you to sign in through your Twitter account. And what it does, it scans your followers and scans who you've engaged with, scans who's retweeted you. And then it'll tell you where your followers are located. So it'll show you a map.
Mm.
And will have pins on locations. So it's really cool to be able to see like, oh, I have a lot of people who are in Canada and I have a lot of people who are in Jamaica and Nigeria. So it's a great like monitoring and measuring tool. So it's called Twitonomy. It's free. You really only need the free version because I can't imagine what more you would want from to pay for it.
Okay. Well, I just looked it up and little pins are dropping all over the place. And it's saying somebody just mentioned me in Hawaii and somebody just mentioned me in Finland. And it's literally like popping. It's loading them in and it's going bump, bump, bump. And all of these, Pakistan, all these little pins are dropping. That's pretty slick.
See what I mean? It's pretty cool too because if you are a brand who wants to see where a lot of your customers are located, this will tell you. And then you can, I think you can even segment them based on geography.
This is cool. 91 mentions and 34 locations.
Boom.
I like this. I have a worldwide crowd of people here. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did not realize my people were so worldwide. It's probably because it's late at night, too.
Well, yeah, that. But I think it scans over time, too.
It does. You're right. Here it says 3,200 tweets in the last year. No, excuse me, in the last 3 months. Average of 29.76 tweets per day.
Replied? Oh, you?
No, me tweeting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so no, mine is like 52.
52?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then 3,696 user mentions in the since February, and I've replied to 2,500 of them. So I've replied to 80% of my mentions.
Dang! Oh my gosh! Let me check mine because I really doubt that I've replied to that
this
many.
This is under the profile section. So I replied to 80% of my mentions. Nice.
I can honestly
say I didn't know that.
That's pretty good. I can honestly say I probably replied to less than 20%.
No, it just updated. Now it's February to April, and I do 62 tweets per day. That's a sickness. time for me
it's
to stop.
It's a sickness we all have.
It's time for me to take a break.
But see, I know mine's going to be higher just because when I live tweet shows, I'm like going.
That is true. Oh, my goodness. Here you go. Users most mentioned, lovey.
Mm-hmm.
Users most retweeted, lovey. We have a problem.
Okay, so
we
it tells me.
Off.
February 5th to April 3rd, 2013.
Right.
I average 54 tweets a day.
Okay.
I have been retweeted 23,980 times.
Wow. In that time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We should compare this sometime. This is pretty interesting.
Right. So Twitonomy is the website and users most retweeted, Shanselman is number 3.
Woohoo!
Users most replied to, Crystal. All the wretchedness. Users most mentioned, Shanselman.
Wow. We are tangled.
Right. Hashtags most used, Scandal.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, everyone, get you a piece. Go find out about your social media
This is
life.
Super useful. I like that. Thanks for that tip. That's great.
Indeed.
Twitonomy.
So what technical tip you got?
I don't have a technical tip, but I do have an interesting thing that I learned about, and this can be what we can end on because it's a great sound effect. Are you familiar with a thing called the Wilhelm scream?
I am.
Yeah, this is that scream that is in every single movie that you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And here, this is a couple of them. It's that one. So this is a compilation of all of the Wilhelm screams. Apparently, it's been in movies since the 50s. It's in Star Wars. It's in The Hobbit. It's in Lord of the Rings. It's in Raiders of the Lost Ark. It is everywhere. And the problem with the Wilhelm scream is once you've heard it, you can't unhear it. You'll hear it everywhere, in everything.
Yeah. Yep. I can see that. I've heard of, the Wilhelms. Because anytime I hear it, I think about the Van Gogh painting.
Yeah, of the scream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is unescapable, as many things are on the internet. So once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. It's not a technical tip, but it's something that is currently I got on my mind because we just watched, the boys and I watched The Hobbit. So we heard it in The Hobbit and we were like, man, you just can't get away from this thing.
Yeah, and I went to do that scream after Scandal wrapped.
Oh, yeah? That was the sound of Lovey waiting 3 weeks for the next episode of Scandal.
Oh, my God. The struggle is so real.
We will overcome, Lovey.
I think, yes. Everyone is like, we need a Scandal support group. I'm like, I got one. I don't know about y'all.
No, it's called Season 1 on Netflix. That's the Scandal support group.
And it's called Scandal Lounge. Shout out.
Yep, exactly.
And G-Chat, because I'm in G-Chat also yelling at people. So yeah,
totally.
Good stuff, though.
Yeah, show 10. Are we going to wait 3 weeks, or are we going to do something next week? Week after next, rather.
Week after next,
maybe a Mad Men one. Something. We'll do something Mad Men. I don't know what's on. Breaking Bad should start soon. And plus, Game of Thrones is coming.
I think Breaking Bad starts in April. No, I'm lying. Maybe that's wishful thinking.
It's
okay.
April now. Is it coming? We need to check on
this. I think I'm lying.
We're going to need to get our priorities straight because there is television to be scheduled around.
That is true. That is true story. True story.
All right. Let's make sure. If people want us to watch a certain show, I'm watching Walking Dead. Reply in the comments. Talk to us because we love, love, love comments. We care more about our commenters than we do about our lurkers.
He's lying. I care about you lurkers too. But
both of y'all. Both of y'all.
Right. All two of you. It's fine.
All right. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you guys all over the web.
Bye-bye.